to lament the fate of Jephthah's daughter. So we're going to look at that difficult passage in a moment, and we'll see what we can find out. Now, Nick, what's happened? So it could be here. Right, so let's leave it then, because what I usually do at home when that happens with the computer, I hit it, and it usually works. I remember once we were down in the Camargue. Do you know, anybody know the Camargue down in the south of France? And it was like this, wasn't it, Karen? Oh, it was hot. We didn't know what to do with ourselves. And we were in a little caravan, and you can imagine there were mosquitoes everywhere you went. There were not mosquitoes, and they were biting. Oh, it was. And my computer packed up, my little computer, and it was a right nuisance. And I thought, what can I do? You know, because we were communicating with everybody through the computer and all that. So I did something which computer people were absolutely astounded. I gave it a good spray of WD-40. I'm a great believer in WD-40. If you've got a joint that plays up or anything, spray it with WD-40. So I gave it a good spray of WD-40, and I put it in the fridge for a couple of days. And do you know, that computer came out, and it worked for years after. Now, there you are. So, you try that. WD-40. Right, so, have you ever heard the expression, fools rush in where angels fear to tread? Anybody guilty of that? I think I am. I'm one of those people. You know, I will get on a bus, and if I want to sit down, one of the things that annoys me is you get somebody, and the bus is full, and there's a seat empty beside them, but they've got their shopping bag on it. That annoy you? You know, you can't sit down. And I always say to them, excuse me, did you pay for two tickets? It's one of the worst things you can say, you know. But you've got to be careful in life, because you can be one of those people who rush in, you know. This is a story, a sad story. And it's a story where Jephthah made a vow in the heat of the moment. And it spoilt his life, and it spoilt his family and everything. And I thought we would just look at this story. It's called From Faith and Foolishness. And we'll just see what we can get from it, you know, to learn something for us today. All right, something very simple. It's not difficult to understand. The story's difficult to understand, but I won't be difficult. And, you know, there are a lot of unanswered questions in this story, which I shan't be able to answer. And we'll never know the answer until we get to heaven. But it's one of those stories which you may question, well, why is it in the Bible? You know, why is it in Scripture? Well, we believe, don't we, very much in what it says in Timothy, that all Scripture is given by God, as inspiration for us to learn from. And there must be things in this story for us to learn this morning. A difficult story, which we don't understand, and that's like life. Life's difficult, we don't understand it, do we? There are things that happen in life, and we think, well, why has that happened? Why has that young person died? Why is that person... why did that person get cancer? Why did this happen? Why did that? Why was it that terrible tragedy? Why, and why? And we ask these questions, and we don't know the answer, and we'll never know the answer. You know, David Paulson, he had a daughter, and she died when she was 33, and he said, you know, he couldn't. It was a long time before he could come to terms. Why, you know, his young daughter should die at 33. Lovely Christian girl. And yet he says he knows, and now he's in eternity, so he says, I know that one day I will find out. So this story is important because it's a story of God's relationship with Jephthah. Okay? God's relationship with Jephthah. And not so much Jephthah's relationship with God. And that's the same with our lives. It's God's relationship with us. Not so much our relationship with God. Because when God gets his relationship right with us, then our relationship with him becomes right. Do you see? A lot of emphasis now, and a lot of our new songs and what we sing are all about ourselves and our relationship to God. But actually, it's God's relationship with us, because he is a mighty, almighty, magnificent God. And we must always bear that in mind, because then when we start to question why things have happened, we can sort of look more from the angle. It's not me with God, it's what God is doing with me. So we'll go through this story, and I won't be long, because it is very hot here. Are you all feeling the heat? Yeah? And we'll see what happens, because this story is a story which really could happen to in any society. Because the story is that Jephthah's father had a relationship with a prostitute, and the outcome was that Jephthah was born. Okay? But the prostitute didn't keep Jephthah. He went to live with his father. His father took responsibility and took Jephthah into his home. And Jephthah's father had sons by his wife. And his half-brothers resented Jephthah being there. Now, this is something in society today. You know, with families, there are half-brothers, half-sisters who don't get on, who resent one another. And in the end, they pushed Jephthah out. They said, no, we don't want you as part of our family. You're not having any of the inheritance of our father. And so Jephthah went off into a strange land. When he got there, he joined up with a gang, you know. He fell into bad company, which so often happens in life. He fell into bad company, and gradually it became a bit of a gang, you know, and they caused lots of problems. But whilst he was in this gang, he sort of learnt good skills of looking after himself and fighting and being a bit of a warrior. Now, even then, you can see God's hand was on Jephthah. Now, let's just look at Jephthah for a few moments and just get one or two thoughts in our minds. First of all, Jephthah was a man rejected. Rejected. Now, have you known rejection in your life? A lot of people have, you know. And you know, it devastates a life, rejection. Jephthah was a man who was rejected. It's something very, very difficult to deal with. But you know, our Lord was rejected. Yeah? Our Lord was rejected. Nobody wanted him. Right, Jephthah was a man who was scorned. Have you ever been scorned? Have you ever been laughed at? Perhaps at school, perhaps you were young. Perhaps because you were born up in a Christian home. You know, our granddaughter last year went through a very difficult time. She goes to Torquay Grammar School, and, you know, she was the only one in the class that didn't swear, and she was the only one that went to church, and was the only one who confessed to be a Christian and that. And, you know, they bullied her at school, and she had a terrible time of it. But, you know, the Lord was really precious to her. And this year we went down to her baptism in Belmont Chapel, and the man who spoke, he said he knew all about our granddaughter Olivia and what she had been through, and she had come out triumphant. She came out on top, you know, and now she's doing so well in that class, and the girls look up to her because she kept the faith. You see? So easy to be scorned in life. And our Lord, you know, he was scorned and mocked, wasn't he? And then, of course, he was bullied by his brothers and peers. And as I've said, bullying is a terrible thing. It's a thing which is in our schools today, and then not only in schools, but it's in society. It don't matter who you deal with, but bullying is a terrible thing. And, you know, as Christians, we should stand up to it. And bullying can cause dramatic consequences in people's lives. But our Lord, he was bullied and pushed around for us. And then, of course, he was made to feel worthless. Well, you know, that is something terrible, isn't it? Many people are made to feel worthless. But, you know, you're not worthless in the sight of Jesus, in the sight of our Lord. And then he was taken away from his mother. And, you know, he was taken by his father into a different family. And I just think very much about our Lord and his mother at the cross, you know, as she stood there. And as she saw her son being crucified, well, he was taken from her. And then, of course, he fell into bad company. This is Jephthah. Fell into bad company. So easy to do nowadays. And I'm thankful that Jesus mixed with sinners. And he understands all about it. So that's just a little bit about the situation with Jephthah. And then when you get that, you can understand how he felt. Well, of course, he got into this gang. They were good fighters. They were making a bit of a name for themselves. And then one day his brothers came to him and said, look, we are being defeated by these Amorites. And they were coming. And we can't really fight against them, but Jephthah, will you come back and do it for us? You know, a bit of a cheek, really, wasn't it? One minute they didn't want him, and the next minute they wanted him back to be their leader. And, you know, I just thought of a scripture or a thought about that, because it's so important that here an outcast becomes a leader. Life took a turn for the good. And Jephthah, all of a sudden, is needed. He becomes the center of attention. You know, there was a good feeling. His half-brothers came to him and asked for help to lead him against the people of Ammon. Would he go back and help them? You know, and it's wonderful to think that God can take a man like Jephthah with all what he was, all his problems, and all his background, and all the trouble he got into. God could take him and move and do something in his life. And that's the wonderful message of the gospel, isn't it? That God changes people's lives. God remakes people. God deals with people, and God can take people and change them completely and use them to his glory. Now, time's pushing on, and I don't want to be here all morning, but the name of Jephthah means he opens. He opens. And it's true to his name. He opened negotiations, didn't he? He negotiated with his brothers, and he tried, if you read the story, to open negotiations with the king of Ammon so that they wouldn't go to fight, but it failed. And ultimately, in his life, he tried to negotiate with God, which is a disaster. So we come now to that second part of the story, which is quite interesting. And the fact that he makes a deal with God. And he says, now look, Lord, if you give me this battle, if you give me the victory over the enemy, I will give to you the first thing that comes to my door when I get back home. Fools rush in where angels fear the dread. Okay? Now, if you read the verse before that, it says that the Spirit of the Lord had come upon Jephthah. And if he had the Spirit of the Lord upon him, there's no need for him to do any negotiation with God, because God was going to give him the victory anyhow. But he did this, you know, he tried to negotiate with God. And, you know, it's a thing that we do in our own lives. We try and negotiate at times with God. And you cannot negotiate with God. You know, I've heard people say, if I do this, Lord, I will do this, you know. I've heard of stories of people who have been in wars. And they've said, if you bring me through this war, Lord, I'll serve you the rest of my days. And whether they do or no, I don't know. We had an open air, we've been having open air church at Appledore these hot Sundays. We've all taken the chairs outside around the war memorial. We've made it into a little church out there, and it's really good, you know, because it's so hot. And one week we had it out there, and there was a young man sat there. And he came to the service. And John went and spoke to him, John, our sort of leader, and he went and spoke to this young man, and he said, you know, why have you come? What are you? It's nice to meet you and all that. And he said, well, my mother is in hospital, and she's in ICU, and she's very, very ill, and they told me that she wasn't going to live. And I said, Lord, if you let my mother live, I'll go to church next Sunday. And sure enough, his mother is still alive. And so he thought, well, I have to keep my word and come to church. Now, I don't know what's happened to that chap. I don't know whether he's still around, whether he's kept to anything. But you see, everybody tries to do that, don't they? We all try and to negotiate with God. And God doesn't want us to do that. He just wants us to come and surrender our lives to him and say, no, Lord, you do with my life what you need to do. I give it to you. You know, I lay it before you. That's the way. Not trying to negotiate with God. God doesn't need us to negotiate with him. He wants to give us the best. And so we have to come and offer our lives to him. And there's no need for Jephthah to make this vow, because God was going to give him the victory. Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. It says that in Scripture. And if the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, you cannot fail. God's going to be with you. But he still went ahead and made this vow. And, of course, you know the story, don't you? When he got home, who was there coming out to meet him? It was his daughter. And it broke his heart. Now, I don't know this story. There's a lot of unanswered questions. And as I say, one day we will know the answers. There's two lines of thought. One is that she went and it says that she didn't have any children. And she went away for 2 months to mourn that fact. She wouldn't have any children when she came back. It could have been that, you know, she went into a sort of an order where she didn't get married. You know, what we would say today, she went into a nunnery, that sort of thing. But there wasn't those sort of things. But she was set aside. And she couldn't get married. And some people even think that Jephthah may have sacrificed her. But I question that myself, because God has said in his word that human sacrifice is out. It's out. So we don't know the answer. But what I do know is that one thing, if you make a vow to God, he expects you to keep it. Okay? He expects you to keep your word. And I know that many of you, I've known many of you for many years, actually. And I know that, like me, many years ago, you made a decision, didn't you, to follow the Lord, and you gave him your life, and you said, you know, I'm going to follow you, Lord, don't matter what, where, how, but I'm going to follow you. I promise to serve you. Many of you went through waters of baptism. Many of you sang that beautiful, beautiful hymn, "Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend." You said all this. And it brings us down to the question and say, well, where am I now, Lord? Have I kept my word with you? You know, have I kept my word? Jephthah kept his word. And he didn't break that vow. He didn't say, "Oh Lord, I didn't mean it," because when he came home and saw his daughter, he could have easily said, "I didn't mean what I said," you know, and all those sort of things. And, you know, "Well, I'll do something else for you, Lord." No, he didn't. He kept his word. And you know, if you go to the New Testament and you look through all the great names of the men of old in the book of Hebrews, guess whose name's there? Jephthah's. Jephthah's name's there. And God honoured him. And so, friends, easy little story, or difficult little story, I don't know what. But it just brings us to answer one question, you know. Are we foolish with God? Do we say things and we don't mean it? Do we test God? Do we try God? Do we keep our word, you know? People don't keep their word nowadays. We were watching on television the election of, you know, the new leader for the Tory party, and they had them up the front and they were asking them questions, and I was sat there listening to them, and one of the main questions was, "How do we know that we can believe what you say?" And, you know, they all gave answers, you know, "Well, you know, look at my track record, look at this, look at that," you know. Not one of them said, "I'm a Christian, so what I say, I do." Not one of them said, "I tell the truth, I always speak the truth." Not one of them said, "I was always brought up in a home where my parents taught me to say and tell the truth." You know? Simple thing. And, you know, Jephthah kept his word. And God did bless him. But unfortunately, he never had any grandchildren, and his line died out. Well, finishing. And I'm going to finish now. All God needs us to do is to put our lives before him and say, "Well, here we are, Lord. Here we are. I'm willing to follow you. And you can do with my life what you feel best. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm not going to negotiate my life. And I'm going to live for you. And I'm going to serve you." And I think that's a good challenge for us to finish on this morning. Especially as we look back over the years. And I look back over the years when I became a Christian. Cool. You know, it's... let me say, over 50 years ago, you know, have I kept what I promised him in those days? And am I serving him? So this week, let's live as though we're going to serve Jesus and live for him, for his sake. Amen. So I've got one song for us to finish with. Those videos haven't come up.